The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea. And he said, "Change your lives. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "There will be a voice of one crying in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" Now John wore clothing made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence that you have changed. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very rocks. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am just baptizing you with water. But there is one who is coming after me who is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. So every year in December, we have to deal again with this character, John the Baptist. And to be honest, most of us don't know what to do with him. I always say he would never be invited in a proper Catholic church. We would keep him out in the cold, if at all possible. Let's talk about him a little bit to catch the absolute unique role that he has. Because it's different than Jesus. And the message changes with Jesus. And yet, Jesus is building upon him. So first of all, I'm sure you know, John the Baptist is very much, by birth, an establishment figure. From both sides of his family, he is priestly class, upper class. His parents are doing the official work at the temple. And it would be like if I or some priest would stop having mass here in church, which you all think is very proper and nice, and go down to the Rio Grande and start conducting my own services. Not most of you would trust that. What's he up to? Creating his own little church down there. So we have an establishment figure doing very disestablishment things. And that's why they go out of their way to describe his clothing. He isn't even dressing like a priest. He isn't eating like the nice middle class people. He's eating locusts. This is a counter-establishment figure who nevertheless is gathering huge crowds. So you've got to know that when Jesus appears on the scene, this man is the man who's popular. This is the man whom the crowds are following. Now he appears to be the cousin of Jesus. And even though he's gathering a great crowd and greatly popular, even though his message is rather difficult and demanding, he immediately gets out of the way and points beyond himself. "Let go. I want my crowds to move toward Jesus." So he says, "My baptism was merely water, but there is one coming who will change you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So he gives Jesus permission, as it were, to go beyond himself. Now it's rather a delightful time to talk about this, Because I'm sure you know it, this is happening in our church right now. We have the ultimate establishment person called the Pope talking in a very dis-establishment way. This has hardly happened, or I don't think it has happened, in your lifetime. And it's upsetting a lot of people. Because popes aren't supposed to talk the way Pope Francis talks. Of course, we Franciscans are quite happy that he's taken the right name. But the taking of the name reveals what our Father St. Francis himself taught. He was not an establishment person. He was not a priest. He did not say what the Pope and the bishops and the cardinals at his time wanted him to say. And yet, he became Saint Francis. Just a week ago, Pope Francis issued his first completely written document, 200 and some pages. I read it from beginning to end and marked up almost every paragraph. He tells the papacy it has to change. He tells the cardinals they have to change. He tells the bishops they have to change. He tells the priests they have to change. He tells you that you have to change. He tells the market economy of capitalism that it has to change. And the Republicans are just terribly upset, I'm sure, that a pope is talking in this way. And of course, quickly they're saying, oh, the pope is dabbling in politics. Well, they don't mind when he dabbles in politics about other issues, but he's not supposed to touch the sacred cow of the American market economy. That's above reproach. And yet we have a pope who is courageous enough to say, capitalism is just as evil in its rigid form as is communism. Now, actually, John Paul II said the same thing. So this points out how Catholics hear popes when they want to hear. If it has to do with abortion or contraception or gay marriage, we're all for the pope. And suddenly when the pope critiques the whole system and says it is not living according to the gospel, suddenly an awful lot of Catholics ignore the pope. So he is probably, just as is said of John the Baptist, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. The symbolism of crying in the wilderness is when you say, maybe you've, I hope you haven't, but maybe you've said it to your husband or your wife or your children, it's like talking to a door. You might as well go outside and talk to the wind. That's what it means, a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And the path to God is a very different path than the path of nationhood and empire and capitalistic economy. I think Pope Francis is making us realize that we've had to have it both ways. We've by and large worshiped power and money and war and felt we were good Christians. And he's saying, change your ways.